Hi everyone and welcome. This is John Gabriel with the New You in the New Year 5-week transformational program. This is week 3. We're going to be talking about stress and emotions. We'll get started in just another minute. I'm just going to wait for a few more people to log on. So we will be right back. Okay, hi everyone and welcome. This is John Gabriel and with the New You in the New Year 5-week transformational program. We're in week 3 right now, which is dealing with stress, emotions, and weight loss. And before we get started, I just want to say that we spent the last 2 weeks talking primarily about the physical stresses of food and digestion. And we've gotten flooded with questions, great, great questions, really good questions. But what I also notice is, and we've also given you tons of information, and what I've noticed is that some of you, sometimes people are getting a little bit stuck on the food side of things, feeling like it's too much, it's overwhelming, you can't keep track of everything. What I'd like to say is two things. One is that all the information we're giving you is for informational purposes only. You don't have to adopt the information. It's just things to know when you're out and about, what's the best thing to choose, when you're on the run, if you're at a truck stop, if you're at work, what's the best juice to get, things like that. It's all just information that you can use, and each bit of information is like a tool that you can use in your arsenal of tools to help turn off your fat programs. But it doesn't mean that if you can't sprout your nuts, that you're not doing the Gabriel method, and that it's all off, and that you can never have raw nuts again, or cooked nuts, or any of these other things. It doesn't mean any of those things. It's just information. The types, the specific things that we put in the action steps are the things that we want you to focus on, like listening to a morning and evening visualization, drinking more water. If you can do probiotics and digestive enzymes, great. But otherwise, adding, and the focus is on adding more real, live, healthy foods, the types of foods that have what we call the big three, live and fermented foods, and protein and omega-3s. All the other information is just there to support you, and we're here to support you. So we're getting lots of questions on that, and what I want to say is don't worry. And the most important point is that food is a very small piece of the whole puzzle when you look at weight gain and the actual weight that your body wants to be. And the reason I say that is because the thing that makes you fat or thin is hormones, not food. And I'll just repeat that. What makes you fat or thin is hormones, not food. Now, food is there to support whatever it is that your body wants to do. So if your body, because of hormones, if your body wants to put on weight, it's going to make you hungry for junk food. And we've heard a lot of people call in saying, I do great, but I have to have some sort of carbs at night. That's your body wanting to hold on to weight. So your body will use food as a tool to get you to hold on to weight, but focusing on food is a little bit like the tail wagging the dog. It's not focusing on the real issues. The food is there to support whatever decisions your body wants to make based on whatever weight it wants to be. Now, food can contribute, but the way food contributes is that certain foods cause certain hormonal reactions in your body, and certain foods cause other hormonal reactions in your body. So the foods that cause positive hormonal reactions, that is that they reduce inflammation and they reduce the inflammatory hormones that cause weight gain, they reduce digestive stress, they reduce toxins, which is another form of stress, they keep your blood sugar stable. So basically foods that reduce stress will help you lose weight, not because of calories, not because they have more nutrition per se, because they change you on a hormonal level. And foods that cause more stress, processed foods that cause inflammation and digestive stress and very high in toxins and elevate your blood sugar, those type of foods cause you to gain weight, once again, not because of calories or quantity, but because of the hormonal effect that it has on the body. It causes stress, and it causes the type of stress that activates your fat programs. Well, guess what? Food isn't the only thing that causes stress and that can activate your fat programs. Emotional stress. Mental and emotional stress activates your fat programs as well. So if you look at it, what we're doing in this course, we're talking about the different stresses that activate your fat programs. So physical stresses activate your fat programs. Mental stresses and emotional stresses do it as well. Now, I have worked with people that have had serious emotional trauma in their life or chronic stress, and we've been able to work through and resolve those issues and making virtually no conscious changes to their diet, have lost 100 and in some cases 200 pounds. I'll repeat that. In some cases 200 pounds, making no conscious changes to their diet. Now, that doesn't mean their diet didn't change. Their diet did change. But what would happen is they'd start eating and all of a sudden they're just not that hungry anymore. Why? Because changing their body, changing the stress and the emotions in their system, changed their hormonal system, changed them on a hormonal level. Their body did not want to hold the weight anymore. The fat programs were not being activated. And so because the fat programs were not being activated, their body just wasn't as hungry. It was craving healthier foods, became more active. It all became very, very organic. So to me, all the information that we gave you over the last two weeks is there to support you, but really for most of us, the most important issues are the stress and the emotions. And I don't care what program you're looking at, they are always downplayed. So you look at some of the most brilliant metabolic researchers on the planet now that really do understand the fact that hormones cause weight gain. They will talk for hours on how important omega-3s are because they reduce stress and how important it is to keep your blood sugar stable and to avoid carbs and dairy and gluten and all these type of things. All really, really good information. But then they just say as a side, oh yeah, stress can cause weight gain too. And that's the end of it. It's the beginning and the end of it for them. It's a footnote. No, most metabolic researchers, I'll go a little bit further, all metabolic researchers are not trained in stress reduction. They're also not trained in recognizing stress as a metabolic factor in weight gain. So we're going to talk about this now. We're going to talk about how stress is a metabolic factor in weight gain. And I'm going to go further than what you would find in other programs where they just make a footnote, and we're going to talk about what to really do about stress. So if you look at it, we've got these physical stresses that we talk about over the first couple of weeks, chronic yo-yo dieting, nutritional famine. We talked about how to nourish your body better, how to heal digestive issues, how to reduce toxins, how certain medications can cause weight gain, sleep apnea. We've talked about all of these different things, and now we're going to talk more about mental and emotional stress and what some of those things are. So if you recall from our first conversation, basically stress activates the fat program. So our fat programs are our body's biological protection against being outdoors in a famine or not having enough to eat thousands of years ago. So if you were outdoors and it was a cold winter and it's thousands of years ago and you're living in a tribe and it's wintertime, there's no fruit, there's no vegetables, the lakes are frozen over so that you can't fish, you're cold all the time. That really sucks. You know, when you think about it, that's a real stress on your system, and it goes on all the time. It's what we call a chronic low-grade stress. Very, very different than the stress of a tiger chasing you, which we're going to talk about a lot next week. But the stress of a tiger chasing you is a biologic threat to your body, but it's a 30-second live or die type of thing. It's what's called an acute stress. But the stress of being outdoors for months at a time, cold all the time, not having enough to eat, is a chronic low-grade stress. And it's the chronic low-grade stresses that activate the fat programs. They cause chronic elevations in your cortisol levels through a biochemical pathway that's called the chronic stress response network, and it pumps out cortisol at a chronic low level. It also causes chronic elevations in your inflammatory hormones, and both of these things cause insulin resistance, which Dr. Rosedale, and leptin resistance, which Dr. Rosedale did a fabulous job of talking about in his lecture. And if you haven't heard that, please listen to Dr. Rosedale's lecture on leptin and insulin resistance. But basically, that's what you that's what happens when you are in a famine and you're outdoors for cold for months at a time, as we used to have thousands of years ago. It would activate your FAD programs. Well, guess what? As you know, we don't have stress. We don't have that type of stress anymore. But we do have stresses. We got the stress. We've got work stress. We've got all the different types of stress which we're going to talk about. And these stresses cause hormonal changes in the body. And those hormonal changes are the exact same hormonal changes that happen when you're in a famine. So you've got chronic low-grade cortisol elevation through the chronic stress response network. You've got chronic low-grade inflammation, which is causing inflammatory hormones, which are both causing insulin and leptin resistance. So basically, stress, the way you have to look at stress when it's dysfunctional stress is it's like a pill that you're taking that's activating your FAD programs. That's really how you have to look at it, and you have to take it really, really seriously. You can't just say, like most people, yes, stress is really bad, I know, but you know what, I'm so full on, I'm so busy, blah, 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 who has time to worry about that? No, you have to worry about that, because when you deal with stress and emotional issues, what you're doing is you're taking the emergency brake off of your weight loss. You're letting things accelerate, and you're able to lose weight much quicker. So let's talk about some of the stresses that can cause us to gain weight. This chronic fear of running out of resources, this feeling of lack. So we're trying to make ends meet. We're trying to save for our kids' college education, to pay off a mortgage, to make a rent payment. All these different things we're working toward, and we have this chronic feeling of lack, not enough. And that specific fear, that fear of running out of resources, that fear of not having enough, to the body is very, very similar to the fear of famine. And the reason I say that is because if you're in this chronic state where you feel like you have to save, you have to hold on, well, your body's going to try to protect you. And that's what our bodies do. Our bodies are brilliantly designed to try to protect us. Well, when you're sending the message to your body that there's not enough out there, we have to save, what's the one thing your body can save? Well, the one thing your body can save is fat. That's the one resource to your body. That's the currency of your body, not money and not a 401k plan or credit cards or any of these things. The currency of the body is fat. So when you're worried all the time that you can't make ends meet, then that is going to cause a chronic stress that's so similar to a famine that very likely your body will want to hold on to weight. And studies have shown that people that are in high stress jobs or economically challenging situations are much more likely to gain weight. Now, you would think that maybe they would lose weight because they don't have enough money to eat. Well, it doesn't work that way. Basically, their body's forcing them to eat junk food, and junk food's cheap and available, and you just gain and gain, but it comes from the stress. The important point here, the important message, is that if you don't deal with the stress, then no amount of changes to your diet will solve the problem. Because, once again, weight loss is about hormonal changes, not food. So you're causing hormonal changes in your body that are causing you to gain weight. And if you think about it, stress basically equals fear. Stress means that in some way you are not safe, and you are sending a message to your body that you are not safe, and in doing so, you're setting up a negative spiral. So before we talk about this negative spiral, I want to start getting into questions, even if we start touching on some of the questions that we had from last week, because I know we have so many questions that we're trying to cover, and they're great, great questions, and we're doing the best we can. But there are some questions here, and any questions that you do have as you're listening to this, just type them into the chat, and then Dan will read them out to you. So we've got about 10 questions right now that people have typed into the chat box. I'm going to bring Dan in, and we'll start answering questions. The one other thing I want to mention about questions is that we have another Ask John session tomorrow. So tomorrow night in Australia, which is tomorrow morning in Europe, and very early tomorrow morning in the U.S., probably too early for the U.S. It's very tough to get three continents at once, but it's an ideal time for Europe and Australia. We'll have an Ask John where you can actually call in and talk to me. So let's bring Dan in. Danny there? What's that, Aaron? What's that? Okay.
Can you hear me, John?
Yeah, okay. Now
can you hear me now? Yes. Yeah, sorry, John. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Okay. Yeah. First question is, BB, you mentioned that my neck, shoulder, limbs and muscle tightness are caused by emotional stress. If so, I'm not aware of it. Do you have any solutions since I can't take supplements and get rid of the problem?
Yeah, what I said to you is that it's possible that your neck and stress pain are emotionally related, especially because you've been to the doctors and specialists and they haven't been able to, they're clueless basically as to what's causing the pain. And my experience is that when you have chronic pain in your body, that it comes from one of two places. It either comes from a digestive issue where you're overworked, like a chronic fatigue type of thing, or fibromyalgia, where you're having some sort of emotional issues that have overworked your system. So that's basically what I've discovered, that chronic pain in your body, which is just all over pretty much, especially your neck and shoulders, is related to stress. So what I'm suggest is that the stress reduction types of things that we talk about here, you follow this week and you focus on stress reduction and see how that helps your chronic pain.
Okay, thanks, John. Nandan asks, I'm realizing the negative psychological issues I have, like I can eat whatever I want because it does not digest properly and goes straight through me. I used to do a lot of colonics and enemas in order to lose weight, and I ended up just starving myself and craving sugar. Could you please help me understand the psycho-maldigestive pattern I have? Because although I have added a lot of great things, I'm realizing I need more help than I realized on the mental digestive patterns I have.
It sounds to me like you're thinking, okay, so it sounds to me, correct me if I'm wrong, well, you can chat in and correct me, Nandan. It sounds to me like what you're saying is that in your mind you feel that because you're not digesting foods properly, you will not gain as much weight. Nothing could be further from the truth for two reasons. One, when you look at junk food, the easiest thing to digest is the sugar. So the sugar gets broken down very quickly, just goes right into your bloodstream. So you're getting all the sugar, you're just not getting the nutrients. Also, when you're not digesting foods well, you're causing inflammation in your body, and that inflammation is activating your fat programs. That's a chronic low-grade stress, like these other stresses we're talking about, that are like mental, emotional stress, nutritional famine, or just being in a famine in general. This not being able to digest your food is causing a chronic low-grade stress, which is activating your fat programs, making you hungry all the time, which sets up a vicious, vicious cycle. Because you get hungry all the time, you eat junk food, you digest the sugar becomes fat and causes leptin and insulin resistance, which makes you even more hungry, and the inflammatory hormones make you even more hungry, and it's a huge, huge vicious cycle. So this idea, and I think this is what you're saying, this idea that not being able to digest your food is good because you're not getting the calories, nothing is further from the truth. Focusing on digestion will reduce your inflammation, and will turn off the fat programs that cause you to gain weight.
Okay. Thanks, John. Yeah. Jane asks, stress. I have a couple of things that I know are inflexible. If I can't fix them, does that mean I'm fat forever? Or if I learn to handle the stress or them better, is there hope for me?
Yes. Yeah, so this is a really, really great point, and the essence of the point is about stress in general. So there's two components to stress. One is what's going on outside of you, and the other is what's going on in between your ears. So you take two people, and they're driving to work, and they're stuck in traffic. One is as calm as a cucumber, and the other is freaking out because their boss is going to get mad, he's going to yell, maybe they'll lose their job, maybe they can't afford, won't be able to keep their house, they'll have to sell their house, they'll live on the street, and they'll go through this gyration of things simply because they're stuck at a traffic light. So while you can't always change the outside situations that are going on in your life, you can change your internal reaction, which is far more important. It's your internal reaction to stress that matters the most. And this is jumping ahead a little bit, but what we'll be discussing is that by doing meditation and visualization, mind-body practices, in general, you rewire your brain circuitry so that the internal response is not causing stress hormones and is not causing you to gain weight. And that's what you want to focus on. You want to focus on rewiring your brain chemistry, and we'll talk more about that.
Jamie's question ties in with this. I have an extremely stressful job as an OR nurse, and it often includes literally life and death situations.
Sure.
Since starting the GM 2 weeks ago, I have become more aware of my body, and I notice that I get severe junk food cravings immediately after getting off work at 11 p.m. Are these stress-related, or is it normal nighttime cravings? And if so, how can I combat?
Okay, so I don't know if they're normal nighttime cravings. It depends on what time you're waking up. It would be great if we could talk about that, but it's either exhaustion or stress. My guess is it's a combination of both. The one question I would want to ask you is, when you don't work and you have a nice relaxing day, are you still hungry at 11 o'clock at night? If the answer is yes, then yeah, you have nighttime cravings, which is an issue. If the answer is no, then it's very much stress related. And again, there's lots of different situations that are very, very stressful, but the important thing is that you actually do have the power to rewire your brain chemistry so stress does not produce stress hormones in your brain and your body. And I'll just repeat that. You actually have the power to rewire your brain chemistry so that stress does not produce stress hormones in your body, because your brain is more wired toward feelings of safety and connectedness. That's why these visualizations and meditations and practices that we do to help you feel safe and connected are so crucial. And once again, people just don't go far enough in focusing in this direction, but this is very much the real issue for many, many people. I'd say most people. Okay, Deb?
Okay, well, Lex asks a similar question again. I usually eat quite well most of the time. My problem is in the evenings and weekends. I crave chocolates, chips, bread that I don't eat during the week when I'm at work. This has been a pattern for a while. And since I've started on this program, I've noticed that I'm actually eating even more junk, things I don't normally eat. Why is this? Why is my body fighting me? I'm feeling very discouraged.
Yeah, so my guess is that what's happening is that when you're not at work, it causes you to kind of be forced to confront certain issues in your life. Maybe that there's not enough, from a relationship standpoint, you're not getting what you need, there's not enough love, there's not enough community, there's not enough support, there's not enough fun. Whatever the issues are, you don't face them when you're working, but you face them when you're home. And they're coming up, and probably doing the visualizations that you're doing are bringing them up to the surface, which may be causing some junk food cravings. That's my guess. To get a little bit further, I would want to talk to you, though, if you can call in during the Ask John sessions, and we can work through it.
Okay. Beck says, could alcohol and stress be addressed, please? I have worked in the wine industry for over 15 years and love to wind down with a glass of or three at the end of a stressful day, but I'm trying my hardest not to drink, but would love some information on alternatives or ways of coping.
Yeah, so alcohol reduces stress because it changes your brain chemistry, basically. But you can change your brain chemistry through visualization and through meditation. And what happens over time, what I find, is that people are just naturally less dependent and even less attracted to alcohol. I never like to tell people don't drink because it has calories or because it's bad for the liver or because it's toxic or any of these different things, because people use drinking as a stress reduction survival strategy. So I don't tell people to stop, but what I find is people stop on their own over time once they start developing these stress reduction tools and strategies. Then you just don't need as much alcohol. You might still have a glass of wine after work, but it won't be about reducing stress. It won't be a need. It'll just be more of a social thing. And when that happens, the issue kind of goes away on its own.
Okay, thanks, John. Laurie says, I have been noticing that I am calmer and a lot less reactive to stress around me since I've been doing the visualizations. Does that mean that I'm on the right track?
Yes, absolutely. That's the first that's the first indication that your brain is getting rewired towards stress reduction. There's no question about it.
Okay, thanks. Margie says, I've heard that you say in a lot of cases of emotional obesity, we must get to the root of the problem. But what if we don't know? I have lost 200 pounds four times and have always regained them. However, I was taken to the diet doctor in the first grade. Do not recall any childhood abuse. Was told by my mother that I did not walk until I was three because I was too fat to walk. So I've always been fat. So I don't know why, but the safe, strong, and protective visualization has helped immensely. But do I really have to know what the cause is?
No, you don't have to know what the cause is. You just have to practice the safe, strong, and protective visualization, and also maybe get some help from a cellular release therapist, as we can talk about. And it may not even be an emotional issue at all that's affecting you. If you were heavy since you were three, or even since infancy, and you don't recall any emotional issues, one of two things is happening. Either there was an emotional trauma that you just don't recall, in which case you need a professional like a cellular release therapist to help you work through those issues, or it's not an emotional issue at all. It could be a stress, it could be a digestion related issue. For example, maybe you were sick and you had antibiotics, or you had formula milk that didn't agree with your system, something like that. Or some medications that caused inflammation, and that could have activated your fat programs too. So it could be a physical thing anyway. But the fact that you get enormous benefit from the safe, strong, and protected visualization, then I would say that there probably is something that it's addressing, and that you should definitely stay with that.
Okay. Maureen says, what about mental hunger? I eat even when I'm full. I use food to stuff my feelings. I often don't know what the feelings are. I'm just looking for a pattern. I'm looking to interrupt this pattern. On Sunday, I felt anxious and... Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
I was just going to say, on Sunday, I felt anxious and angry. Don't know why. Listened to a visualization, journaled, hoping these tools would stop the feeling, but I obsessed about the cookies I would eat as soon as I was done. Not sure what to do about this.
This particular issue just needs a little bit of time. So there is some emotional issues that are being worked through, and they will take a little bit of time to work through. But don't get too focused on the eating, because the eating is always the tail wagging the dog. So you know when I had my fat programs on and I was in a very stressful emotional working environment, it was all about eating for me too. I couldn't wait to eat the cookies, the ice cream, the donuts, the pizza. I couldn't wait. And that went away when all the stress and the emotional issues went away. That went away. So there's nothing real about the actual cravings to say that you actually have to have these types of things, except for the fact that you're just craving them because of the hormonal effect of your fat programs being activated. So keep staying focused on reducing stress and your fat programs being activated. Obviously, you're working through some issues here, and they're coming to the surface, and that's really, really common. And give it this week to really journal and work through the issues, and see how you're feeling next week. Because my guess is that you will find yourself not thinking about food as much in a very short period of time.
Laurie's question ties in with this. I did something today that was the worst thing I could have done. I got on the scales. I know we aren't supposed to do this during this process, but because it could mess with our heads, well, it has. How does weighing ourselves affect our success?
Yeah. So if it's going to cause a negative situation, and this is actually a good place for me to continue the course. Lecture. So, Dan, I'll bring you back in just a little while. I know we're getting lots and lots of questions, but to answer your question, obviously weighing yourself has caused some negative feelings, which has set up a negative spiral in your body. And I want to talk about this negative spiral that can come from any type of fearful thought, stressful thought, negative thought. It sets up a negative spiral in your body, where the stress causes chemistry, which activates your fat programs. You start craving more food. You start putting on more weight gain, all based on a negative thought or a negative feeling or a stressful feeling. So, if you look at it mapped out, a negative spiral looks like. It starts with a negative thought, like, oh, I didn't lose any weight this week, and that goes to a negative emotion. Oh, it's so hard. You know, things are really tough. I wish it was easier. Maybe it won't work for me. All these different things will cause fear and stress. Those fear and stress will cause chemistry, hormonal chemistry in your body, which activates your fat programs, which then causes you to eat more, feel discouraged, feel dejected, become tired because, again, your fat programs are to get you to gain weight, causes you to conserve energy, so you feel exhausted all the time. And when you're tired all the time, it causes more negative thoughts. Oh, life is so hard. Work is so hard. This is so impossible. When can I have a break? All these different things create a negative spiral in your body that is a vicious spiral because it just keeps circulating and circulating toward more hormonal issues that cause you to gain weight. It's basically like a hormonal generator for weight gain. And what we want to try to do is create a positive spiral in our body using visualization techniques, using positive thinking, using stress reduction techniques and therapy types of things, mind-body practices. We can start to create a positive momentum. So a simple example of creating a positive spiral is if you were just sitting there and you just imagine, for example, let's just take the scale thing. You had this experience with the scale. There's one or two things you could do. One is you could react to the feelings and create a negative spiral, and then the other is you could be conscious and create a positive spiral. So let's just imagine that once you had that thought that you just sat down and you just imagined every cell of your body saying at the same time, like a chorus, because this is a really effective way to communicate with your body and to create a feeling of positive thoughts running through your body. It's just imagine every cell of your body saying something at the same time. So we've got like 70 trillion cells. Just imagine every cell of your body saying, I am safe, I am loved, I love you, I accept you, I forgive you. All of these saying these different things. I allow myself to lose weight. Weight loss will come. Weight loss is easy. I nourish myself. I love myself. I accept myself. Just every cell of your body is saying this over and over again. And you can even try it right now as we're sitting here. Maybe we can do a little bit of practicing as we're sitting there. You're sitting there. Just imagine, you just close your eyes. Let's just try this. So just close your eyes and imagine every cell of your body saying at the same time the words, I love you. So just over and over again saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. 70 trillion cells just saying over and over, I love you. And then just imagine every cell of your body saying, I accept you. Just over and over, I accept you. I accept you. I accept you. I accept you. And then just imagine every cell of your body saying the words, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. Just try this with me now, because I want to make a point about what this can do. So I forgive you. I forgive you. Just 70 trillion cells. And then just imagine every cell of your body saying, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. So we just did so if you just come out of that for a second, just notice how you feel differently. So we just did one minute worth of visualizing. We didn't even get into smart mode or any of those things. And notice how different you feel just from that minute, as opposed to the reactive feeling that you might have felt when you just got off the scale or just had some kind of stressfulness. Just notice how different you feel. So simply by doing that, just for a minute, creates positivity in your body. Because when you're feeling, even just being aware of love, when you're feeling love or just even being aware of love, you're communicating to your body that you're safe. Because you can't be feeling feelings of love and feelings of fear and terror at the same time. The two cannot exist in your body at the same time. When you're feeling fear and terror, you're not feeling love. So by feeling love, by feeling appreciation, the same. When you're feeling fear and in a negative state, you don't feel appreciation. Usually you feel all kinds of negative things like, oh, everything's so hard, my body hates me, whatever it is, you're feeling negative things. You can't feel appreciation and stress at the same time. Try it. It's true. So just by focusing on these positive states, you are communicating to your body that you're safe. And by doing that, you are creating a positive spiral in your body because you're creating positive emotions that make you feel safe and secure. That is changing your biochemistry. It's changing your hormones. It's the equivalent to having wheatgrass versus having McDonald's fries. From a hormonal perspective, that's the difference. And so you're giving your body all this hormonal change, just turning off your fat programs, that's making you less hungry, making you have more energy and vitality. And then as you have more energy and less hunger, you start to lose weight. It creates a positive spiral in your body, and then it just keeps escalating. So simply by doing these very, very simple visualization techniques, you can create a positive momentum in your body in a positive spiral, even if you're doing it just for 1 minute. So really what we're talking about here is that visualization rewires your brain chemistry. So what happens is visualization and getting into that state that I call smart mode, which is what consciousness researchers call the alpha and the theta state, getting into that state is it does certain things in your brain. So one of the things it does is it inhibits signals to and from a part of your brain known as the amygdala. So the amygdala is like an almond-shaped part of your brain in the limbic area of your brain that pumps out fear and aggression. And it becomes a repetitive cycle. So the more fear you have, the more it pumps out, the more it pumps out, the more fear you have. And you go into this endless repetitive loop. And when you meditate or just do simple visualizations like that, you're actually inhibiting signals to and from the amygdala. So you're biochemically changing the hormonal response you have to your environment, and you are accessing areas of your brain in charge of feelings of safety and connectedness. And those, then you start to develop a repetitive pattern of safe and connected thoughts. Because the more you think something, the more habitually you will continue to think something. So you're setting up a rewiring of thought patterns so that habitually you're going to be thinking thoughts of safety and protectedness. Simply by doing visualizations, the 10-minute visualizations that we do in the morning, and even that 1-minute visualization that I just did, and we're going to do a couple more in a minute. Simply by doing that, you're rewiring your brain chemistry not only for that minute, but you are actually rewiring your brain chemistry all through the rest of the day. And the more you do it, the more you rewire your brain chemistry. So the simple 10-minute visualizations that we do are so enormously powerful. That's why if you look at some of our testimonials, we've got testimonials of people losing enormous. This one guy lost 200 pounds. He said all he did was listen to the evening visualization CD, and then it created this incredible positive momentum and positive spiral in his life. So many people have said our visualizations are the key to it, and I do think that visualizations and specifically stress reduction techniques, and I happen to think visualization is one of the best, but they are the missing link in weight loss because it's the stress and the emotions that cause the problem in the first place. So I want to turn our attention now to another component in this whole stress and emotional issue, and that is that not only does stress, chronic stress, cause chemistry, which causes your body to want to hold on to weight, you can also have emotional traumas, which can cause your body to want to hold on to weight for safety reasons, and that's a little bit different. That's something that I talk a lot about, and I'm sure many of you have heard me talk about. That's something called emotional obesity. So emotional obesity is different than emotional eating. Emotional eating is when you're eating to calm down, and we've all talked about that, or eating because you're stressed out. That's emotional eating. We all have that at one time or another. Emotional obesity is different than being stressed out. It's different than just having your stress hormones activated because you're in a chronic state of stress. Emotional obesity is the actual need to feel safe, to be fat in order to feel safe. That is, fat is acting as a buffer to the outside world. And understanding emotional obesity, if you have it, is the key to weight loss. And emotional obesity can be caused by traumas, abuse, attack, injury, moving, divorce, loss of job, new situations, lack of boundaries. All of these different things cause, all these different past traumas can cause your body to want to react by holding on to weight. And I've seen it many, many times. I remember when I was first when I first lost the weight and I was on television, somebody emailed me and I talked to this lady and she said that for 3 years she was being abused when she was a kid by a babysitter. From the ages of 10 to 13 she was being abused, and the whole time she was being abused she just kept getting heavier and heavier, and eventually she got so heavy that the abuser stopped abusing her. They lost interest. She had been trying to lose weight then by dieting for 30 years, and nothing was working. And basically the reason why it wasn't working is because whenever she lost a little bit of weight, somebody would say, oh, you look great. She would freak out, and the reason she would freak out is because she's using the weight to protect herself from getting male attention, from potentially being abused. And when you look at the stats for women that have suffered one form or another of physical abuse, it's pretty staggering. Something like 25% of women have suffered some form of physical abuse. And when you look at the stats for the group that are overweight, the people that have had chronic weight issues, it's more like 50%. So emotional abuse causes that. And I had that also where I actually felt safer having the extra weight. I was in an abusive working environment, and I felt like the larger I was getting, the safer I was feeling. So this feeling of needing fat in order to be safe has to be addressed. And the important thing, the way to know is if you have emotional obesity, as I've talked about, is if you can trace your weight gain back to any specific incident that may have caused you to gain weight, such as any type of abuse, mental, physical, and emotional, as we've talked about, alcoholic parents, dominating parents, teachers, bullies, siblings, moving, ending a job, starting a new job, getting married, getting divorced, having kids. Having kids is I wouldn't classify that, obviously. It's not a traumatic experience, but what it is can be an exhausting experience if you're feeling overworked and overwhelmed and you don't have strong boundaries. And if you don't have strong boundaries, you can feel drained. And so your body will kind of use weight to strengthen your boundaries. So weight is a great way of defining boundaries. So it's really more about defining boundaries than anything. Any type of illness, accident, surgery, any financially stressful situations, any of these type of things, if they have caused you if you've gained weight as a result of any of these issues in your life, it's a clear indication that those issues caused what I call emotional obesity, that your body is using weight to help you feel safe from a traumatic experience or an experience in which you don't have healthy boundaries. Now, before we go any further on what to do about it, I'm going to bring Den back in because we're getting flooded once again with questions. So we'll try to answer some questions, and then for a few minutes, and then we'll spend the last 10 minutes or so going over some strategies for working through the emotional issues.
Hi, John.
Hi, Dan.
Hi. Lucy wants to know, is kinesiology a good way to release trapped stressful emotions?
Yeah, it can be excellent. You know, it's a function of the kinesiologist and his training, but yeah, it's a really great way to work through emotional issues that are stored in different parts of your body. So our bodies store stress and strain in different areas of our body, and working with a kinesiologist can help you work through those issues.
Thank you. Anne says, I stopped taking a medication that I've been using daily for 22 years just after reading the book and using the support form. Truly amazing. I know there is more I need to deal with emotionally. How can I get this going? I'm ready to process all my issues. How do I stir them up to deal with them?
Well, the first thing is to listen to the Safe, Strong, and Protected visualization in the morning, which we're going to suggest in the action steps. If you want to go further, then I would suggest that you have a session with someone that does meridian tapping, which we're going to talk about, and cellular release therapy. Those are both excellent healing modalities that help you work through emotional issues.
Okay. A listener has actually asked if you could confirm how they get in touch with our cellular release therapists.
Email us. Let's have them email us at help@thegabrielmethod.com.
Okay. Thanks, John. Diana says, I'm really struggling. I haven't lost any weight. I do my daily visualizations and plan my day the night before. but when the day begins, I'm paralyzed to take the steps I need to progress. Is this just a time thing?
It is very much a time thing, and that's why I say focus on adding. That is, focus on any good things you can do. Number one, the morning and evening visualization. Just focus on adding. Leave weight loss alone for a little while. Look at this as building a foundation so that you're changing your hormonal environment in your body to make weight loss sustainable and even effortless once it starts happening. It's not like a diet where you go, okay, I'm going to follow these steps and I'm going to lose 40 pounds in 40 days. It doesn't work that way, because you're getting your body to want to be thin by changing your internal chemistry. You're losing weight from the inside out. That process can take some time. And what can often happen is that there's a long lead time where you're working through issues, and then all of a sudden it's like the dam breaks and your body's just losing weight like crazy. That can happen too. So understand this is a very, very different way to approach weight loss. This is approaching weight loss by addressing and eliminating the real issues. So stay focused on addressing and eliminating the real issues, not on weight loss for now, because once you do that, you'll set yourself up for a lifetime of sustainable fitness. That's really the goal here. The goal isn't to lose the most amount of weight in 5 weeks. That's not what this is. And then hope that you can keep it off. No. The goal is to set up some really healthy habits that change your hormonal environment and make it easy for you to have sustainable fitness for the rest of your life. And you can do that by whatever action steps that you can do on any given day. Start with the morning and evening visualization, drink more water, add more healthy food whenever you can, keep the focus on adding, and don't focus on it like it's some sort of diet. It's really about getting healthy, mind-body health and hormonal health that leads to lasting health, vibrance, and sustainable weight loss. Okay?
Thanks, John. Ingrid says, I'm a single parent to three boys aged 15, 11, and 10. I also have a stressful helping profession. In the past 3 years, I've gained over 80 pounds. My biggest issue has been a very disturbed sleep pattern. I am actually doing better now with that since being on the GM, and I'm feeling a little better. And I do yoga and in addition to the visualizations. My biggest problem is my 15-year-old. He's angry and abusive, doing very poorly in school. It is so hard not to get dragged down by the negativity. I'm trying to keep positive. I also like to work out with weights at the gym. Is it okay to lift weights, and do you have any other suggestions?
Yeah, well, lifting weights is great, and we'll talk about exercise, which can be a great, when done right, can be a great stress reduction tool. We'll talk about that next week. But daily practice of the safe, strong, and protected visualization and some of the other visualizations that we have would be really, really effective for you. It's not going to change overnight, but it will change over the next coming weeks and months, where your response to the negative situation that you're having with your son will change. Also, there's a really good book that I would recommend called Nonviolent Communication by Marshall Rosenberg. Nonviolent Communication. I have found that to be tremendously effective in working through issues with my daughter and issues with young people in general, learning how to communicate properly. So I would highly recommend that you get that book. The other question is, I would want to know what happened 3 years ago. You said that you put the weight, you know, I'm guessing you've had a stressful life or high stress working environment for a long time. What started happening 3 years ago? Was it the sleep? Was it the fighting with the kids? What was it that happened 3 years ago? I really want to know that, and maybe you can let me know that, or you can call in and talk to me tomorrow when we have our Ask John show.
Okay, thanks, John. Donna asks, from birth there have been things that I know about, like sexual abuse, severe chronic illness, amputations, rape, loss of a child, house fire, husband's disability, and loss of income. The list seems to go on and on. When using the safe visualization, I find it makes me short-tempered. Is there something else I can do to release this issue, to fortify the safe visualization, or do I just continue until it takes? And why does it bring me to tears?
Yeah, well, you've obviously had a lifetime of traumatic issues, and working through that is really big. And so at first it's going to upset you and agitate you, because as a defense mechanism, your body doesn't want to bring up these issues. And then it's going to bring you to tears. That's part of the healing process. So you have so many traumatic issues that you have to work through. It's going to take time, to the point where you can listen to a visualization like that and feel comfortable. I would also strongly urge you to have a consultation with our cellular release therapist, also known as emotional release therapist, and you can email us at help@thegabrielmethod.com to talk about that. But that does cost money, and I don't want you to necessarily have to spend more money other than what you are to work through things. So the safe and protected is a really good one. The other thing is, before you do the safe and protected, and even after you do the safe and protected, I would recommend that you do a visualization very similar to the one that we did just a few minutes ago, where you imagine every cell of your body saying at the same time, I love you, I accept you, I forgive you, I appreciate you. So those are the words, I love you, I accept you, I forgive you, I appreciate you. Do that for a couple of minutes before the visualization and after the visualization, and see if there's a difference. Okay? Dan? Hello? Okay. I think we lost Dan. But that's okay. I want to
Can you hear me?
Okay. Hi, Dan. Yeah, let's do one more question. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Kirsty says, during week one, I was so alert and incredibly awake. This last week has been harder. I'm relaxed but feeling like I need to nap, which was not happening in the first week. Is this due to the difference in the visualizations, and is this normal?
Yeah, sometimes it is, because what's happening is some sort of processing. It could be a physical processing or an emotional processing. So if it's a physical processing, you may be doing some other digestion work, which is helping your body detoxify, which is making your body want to relax or be very calm and docile and lethargic while you detoxify. That's very common. Or you're touching on some sort of emotional issues, which also will make you want to be very calm and relaxed and lethargic while you work through the emotional issues. Both are very, very common. They're common of healing toxins, whether it's physical toxins or emotional toxins, going through your system. So Dan, I'm just going to finish up on the webinar and talk about a couple of things that you can do to help work through emotional issues. So one thing, especially for women, I talk about this feeling safe test. So the feeling safe test is basically what I've had so many women tell me that they're losing weight, and then what happens is somebody says, oh, you look great, and they freak out. And that really basically says that their weight was sort of serving a purpose. Maybe they were getting less attention, less male attention, and that was what the weight was serving, and now they're starting to get male attention. And if that makes you uncomfortable and you have a big binge or something like that, it's a clear indication that there are some emotional issues that are at play now. So one of the things we do with visualization to help work through emotional issues, there's two ways you can use visualization. One is to relieve past trauma, and the other is to create a surrogate form of protection using visualization. So you can relieve past traumas working with professionals like cellular release therapists or doing specific visualizations, which I'll talk about. So one of the types of visualizations that you can do that can help relieve past traumas is, you can, when you're in a meditative state, once you're doing your visualization, you can go back to a traumatic experience. Let's say, God forbid, you were beaten up as a kid by a bully. So what you can do is you can imagine that you're back in that situation and the bully's there, and you imagine a different outcome. So you imagine that the bully is shrinking to the point where he's 1 inch big, and you just flick him away with your finger, and you feel empowered, you feel relaxed, you feel strong, and you reinforce to your body, you say, I am safe, I am protected. What this does is it kind of almost rewrites the script that you've had in your body that's causing you to want to hold on to weight. Because the way emotional issues work and the way emotional obesity works is that let's imagine that you're living in a city for 30 years and nothing ever happens and you're carefree and you don't have any weight issues, and then, God forbid, you're mugged by somebody. Well, that sets up a pattern where anytime you're walking on that same street and you see someone that looks like that, it's going to trigger into your brain and body that you're not safe. So you've got this arbitrary association with this street and this person, people that look like that or whatever, that you're not safe, and that it's triggering you to feel unsafe. Well, if you go back and rewire that, so you imagine the incident of being mugged, and then you imagine the person getting real small to the point where they're 1 inch big, and then just flicking them across the street and walking away, you are communicating to your body that you are safe, that there's nothing to fear, And your body understands that, and it doesn't know the difference between a real and imagined experience. And that's what's so powerful about visualization, is you can rewire past traumatic experiences using visualization, and your body will think it's really real and it's really happening. So you can go through past traumas and imagine them differently once you're in a meditative state. It's a really powerful way to relieve them and rewire your brain so that it doesn't feel like you need the weight. Another thing that you can do is create a surrogate form of protection, and that's what we do in the safe, strong, and protected visualization. So we use two different types of visual imagery to help communicate to your body that you're safe and that you don't need the weight. One is a column of light coming from the sky. So you imagine this column of light, this impenetrable column of light coming from the sky, and then you imagine the weight melting off of your body. And by doing that, what you're doing is you're using visualization to communicate to your body that you've got a different form of protection. You don't need the weight in order to feel safe. You have this invisible column of light, and then when you imagine the weight melting off your body, you're saying to your body you don't need the weight anymore. You have a different form of protection. The other form of protection we use is imagining an angel, like a 12-foot or 4-meter high angel, wrapping his or her wings around you and making you feel safe and loved and protected. If you have that that belief orientation that angels are there to protect you, and it's very arbitrary, you don't need to have that belief by any stretch of the imagination, but if you do, I find that to be one of the most powerful ways to feel safe and protected, to create a surrogate. So in the safe, strong, and protected visualization, we're creating a surrogate for the weight and communicating with visual imagery very strongly and very effectively. We're speaking to the heart of the issue. We're saying, you have this other form of protection, you don't need the weight. And you can imagine then, when you're doing your visualizations then, you can imagine going through your day and having this column of light or this angel wrapping her wings around you and feeling safe and the weight melting off you. You can imagine yourself at work where maybe it's normally confronting. And instead of feeling confronted and threatened, you feel relaxed and calm. You have this safety around you. So the more you use visual imagery to create safety, the more you speak to the heart of the issue of weight being a form of protection. It is the most direct way to address the true issue, which is weight is a form of protection. It's the most effective way to do it is by using this visual imagery. Now, there's lots of other ways to reduce stress also. Meditation is incredibly powerful. The visualizations that we do is a form of meditation, and it rewires your brain's chemistry, and as we talked about, so that the rest of the day you're not feeling stressed out. Yoga, Tai Chi, getting out in sunlight, listening to art and music, playing sports. Martial arts is really effective. I do this a lot with kids, because if you know you can protect yourself, it really helps in confrontative situations. So when you're in a confrontative situation, it usually isn't going to get physical. But maybe you have an association that it's going to get physical, because when you were a kid and you were in a confronting situation, you ended up fighting. So that doesn't happen when you're an adult, but you still have that association. So if you know that you can protect yourself because you've studied a little bit of martial arts, you're going to be relaxed in that confrontative situation. And that's going to prevent you from activating the stress hormones that cause you to gain weight. Another really good one is living a simpler, low-cost, sustainable life. So one of the things I did was I sold my house and I moved into a much smaller house, a much more affordable house. I started growing my own food. I cut my expenses down to a fraction of what they once were, and that helped me feel that everything was much more sustainable, and the weight just started to fall off of me. So what you'll find is when you make these changes that you will not be as hungry anymore, you'll feel calmer, you'll feel more relaxed, and all the issues that we talked about last week, which made a lot of people feel a little bit overwhelmed because of so much information, they're not big issues. Maybe your nuts are going to be sprouted, maybe they're not, but you're not going to be that hungry and your body's not going to want to hold on to weight, so it doesn't matter anyway. And that's why I say focusing on the stress and the emotions are the most important things. So I want to talk about our action steps for this week, and then I'll take some more questions after that. So the action steps that we have this week's morning visualization is the safe, strong, and protected visualization, which I've talked about. I would love for you to listen to that as your morning visualization. I would love for you to also, if you can, take an afternoon stress reduction break. So an afternoon stress reduction break means just 10 minutes around 3 or 4 o'clock. So typically around 3 or 4 o'clock, we're exhausted, we're stressed out. That's when all the problems happen. That's when the food cravings happen. That's when we give in to junk food and all of these different things. So if you could spend 10 minutes in the afternoon, maybe going for a walk in nature, or sitting on a park bench and letting the sun bathe you, or listening to another visualization, even in your car, not driving, but let's say you just drive to a bank or a parking lot and just stop the car and listen to a visualization in your car for 10 minutes, that's great. Have a snack also in the afternoon with this stress reduction break, and the combination of a healthy snack that keeps your blood sugar stable and just getting out, maybe doing some stretching, some walking in nature, some sitting in the sun, or listening to a visualization sometime around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon would be fabulous. So really those are the two main ones for this week, the morning visualization and the afternoon stress reduction break. If you can fit in a yoga class, a Tai Chi class, a meditation class somewhere in your area, that would be fabulous. If you can't, don't stress. Obviously, don't worry about it. But those are the most important action steps that I'd like to add. And just to reinforce what this whole five-week program is about. This five-week program is about creating some healthy habits. Yes, we're giving you tons and tons of really awesome cutting-edge information, not just from the core lessons, but from the interviews that we're having with experts. And people are saying this information is unbelievable, and it is, but it's just information. It's just there to help you. But the action steps will create positive habits. They're specifically architected to synthesize everything so that you don't have to worry, so that you have some positive habits in place that make hormonal changes that will help you create sustainable weight loss moving forward. And these are the two most important ones this week. The morning visualization is a safe, strong, and protected one. And the afternoon, take a stress reduction break. Don't get overwhelmed by all the different things that are out there. Those are the two things I want you to focus on. The ongoing steps that we've talked about that I'd like you to continue if you can, drink some water in the morning. If you can put some lemon or apple cider vinegar, great. Have a probiotic if you can, great. If not, don't worry about it. If you can drink a green juice in the morning or late afternoon, that's great. Eat a good breakfast with lots of the healthy omega-3s, protein, live food. It balances your blood sugar. If you can take an additional probiotic supplement or some digestive enzymes with meals, great. If not, no big deal. If you can have frequent snacks that are healthy with live food, protein, omega-3s, that's great. Drink water frequently, like maybe an hour before each meal if you can, and listen to the evening visualization. Those are the ongoing steps. Whatever you can do, great. Whatever you can't do, don't panic. Don't check the scales. Don't worry about if it's working. Just focus on creating some really healthy habits that going forward will change your life forever. So that's it for this week. And that concludes our core lesson. If you have more questions, stay on, and we will answer questions for a while. Otherwise, listen to the interview that I did with Paul North coming up in 24 hours, or 48 hours, rather. It's a great, great interview, and there's a great meditation in there, a mindfulness meditation that's really, really good. And we've isolated it for you to listen to. I'd love for you to listen to it. So there's that, and then there's the Ask John that's coming up tomorrow night. So in about 36 hours, there's an Ask John session where you can call in and talk to me. So that's coming up in the next couple of days, and I hope to speak to you in that Ask John. I hope you enjoy that lecture, interview with Paul North. Don't worry. Relax. Nourish your body when you can. Heal your digestion when you can. If you can't, it's not a big deal. Listen to the visualizations. Learn how to rewire your brain circuitry so that you're less stressed, and develop these healthy habits. Just stay focused on that, and the weight will, over time, start to melt off of your body. So that's it. Thanks very much. And if you want to stay on and listen to questions, you can. You're welcome to. Otherwise, we'll speak to you real soon. So Dan, if you want to bring some questions in, I'm here.
Yeah. Hi, John.
Hi.
Okay. Yes, there's about 10 questions at the moment. Yeah. Donna says, I had to step on the scale for my doctor's appointment today, and yeah, Unfortunately I've gained 2 pounds, although I do feel so much better than in the past.
Yeah. Okay. So just leave it alone. Stay focused on developing these healthy habits, and let's see where we go over the next couple of weeks.
Okay, thank you. Melissa says, I feel like the four affirmations that we just did have been more effective than most of the other visualizations that I've done. Right. Why is this?
they're really powerful. They're the most powerful words that you can have for creating a feeling of safety in your body, because you cannot feel love, you cannot feel stress when you're feeling love, forgiveness, acceptance, and appreciation. Imagine that you were, God forbid, you're swimming in the ocean and you see a dorsal fin that doesn't look like a dolphin. Are you going to be feeling love? Are you going to be feeling appreciation? Are you going to be feeling acceptance? Are you going to be feeling forgiveness? No. You're not going to be feeling any of those things. You're going to be feeling, get me out of this water as quick as possible. That's what you're going to be thinking. So when you're in a state of fear, you can't have those positive emotions. And conversely, when you're having those positive emotions, you're not in a state of fear. And doing it in a way where you're imagining every cell of your body repeating the affirmations is the most powerful way to get your body to integrate the feelings that you're trying to create. So those three things: I love you, I accept you, I appreciate you, I forgive you. Those four things, rather, the most powerful four statements you can make. When we interview Paul North, has some similar ones that come from a Hawaiian healing tradition. Something like I love you, thank you, I'm sorry, something like that. They're very similar ones, and they also are extremely effective. So he'll talk about that when we interview him, when you listen to the interview with him in 48 hours. Okay.
This kind of a universal question then. Is it normal to want to cry when
yes.
saying those visualizations?
Crying is the way your body releases emotional toxins. That's the most natural response. And we're taught not to cry. And I can't tell you how many times I've said to my daughter, stop crying, when she was younger, and I thought to myself, I really wish I hadn't said that. But we learn that. Everybody learns it. You know, we learn stop crying, that, you know, that it's not the right thing. But the reality is, at least once you grow up, crying is a really natural way to release emotional toxins, the most effective, powerful way to release emotional toxins. Let it go. Crying, nothing on earth is healthier emotionally than crying after saying statements like that.
Thanks, John. Mary says, what is the best visualization to help us with establishing healthy boundaries with those around us?
Yes, so great question, healthy boundaries. So what I would do is, in the safe, strong, and protective visualization, when we talk about the column of light and the angel wings wrapping around you, I would use those as a form of boundaries. So I would imagine yourself in the situation that normally evokes a boundary issue, and imagine and feel that column of light around you creating a healthy boundary, and the angel wings creating a healthy boundary, and you being calm and relaxed and looking at the person and just saying, actually, no, I can't do that. I'm sorry. Or not even I'm sorry, but no, I can't do it. And you being really, really relaxed. Imagine that in your visualizations. And then in real life, when you do have the boundary issue, imagine all that protection coming to you and you just relaxing into it and you looking the person in the eye and saying, actually, no, I can't do that.
Mary says, do you have any other wisdom on setting strong boundaries and being more assertive without feeling the guilt? The
remorse. Yeah, so the answer that I just gave, Dan, is the same answer. Feeling guilt, then I would come back to I forgive myself. Come back to that visualization where you're imagining every cell of your body saying, I love you, I accept you, I forgive you. That helps tremendously relieve whatever guilt comes up from boundary issues. And it's an important point when you talk about guilt and boundary issues, because it's usually the guilt that forces you to do something you don't want to do. Because a boundary issue is always about us doing something that we don't want to do. And we're either going to do it for one of a couple of reasons. One is out of fear of being hurt or rejected or losing something. So we're going to do it out of fear of loss, or we're going to do it because we feel guilty, like we should do it. So those two things have a way of pulling things out of us that we don't want to do, or giving things to people that we don't want to give. So the more we can feel protected, so we don't do things out of fear of being hurt, and the more we can forgive ourselves and love ourselves, so we don't berate ourselves for not being everything that we should be to everyone, the less that we're going to have the boundary issues in the first place. So it's a really good point about the relationship between guilt and boundary issues.
Thanks, John. Susan says, I'm realizing more all the time how important these visualizations are. It took me a while to really appreciate this fact. I fall asleep listening to them on my MP3 player, and when I wake up, it has already gone on to the next one, such as Living Warrior, Safe and Protective, etc. My question is this, is it okay to listen to them all night? John just said, the more the better. Is there ever a time when it is too much?
Well, if it's affecting your sleep, don't do it. But if it's not affecting your sleep and you're deriving benefit from it, then it's all good. There's no limit.
Okay. Mary Alice says, I lost 100 plus pounds 5 times in a 25-year period. I was successful by stringent dieting and sometimes kept it off for as long as 3 years, but it always comes back. Would you say that the underlying issue is faulty digestion?
Not necessarily, no. The underlying issue is your body wants to hold on to the weight, and we don't know what that is unless we work through it, but it could be an emotional issue, it could be digestion, it could be toxins, it could be medications you're taking. Excuse me, there's lots of different things that it could be. If you want to call into the Ask John show, I will be more than happy to work through it with you and figure out what it is, but it's there's definitely something that's making your body want to be at that weight.
Okay. Donna says, the visualizations are great. I have been able to stop taking all of my meds at this point. Doctor just approved it today.
Awesome.
So I guess my new it's great to hear. So I guess my new project is getting through this, the safe and emotional obesity issues. I've been doing some simple yoga a couple of times a week. Is there a link on the NYNY for or new you and the new year for any yoga?
We do have a yoga for weight loss DVD that we've put together. So if you email help@thegabrielmethod.com, they can help put you in touch with that.
Okay. Melissa says, I've been doing well implementing all of the steps except the green juice. I'm a single parent most of the time, and I'm just struggling on adding this into my day.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Just forget about it. Just try to eat real foods and try to heal your digestion as much as you can. Just don't worry. You just do what you can. This is about sustainable forever. This is the point that I was saying before. It doesn't mean that if you're not taking a green juice, you're not on the Gabriel Method, or if you're not sprouting your nuts, you're not on the Gabriel Method. None of that means anything. It just the Gabriel Method means that you're addressing the issues that are causing your body to want to hold on to weight. So however you can nourish your body is really what this is about in terms of the green juice. Whatever you can do to nourish your body is great.
Thank you. Donna, this is probably a question a lot of people are encountering. How can I minimize my spouse and children's unwillingness to support me with this program?
Yeah, so that comes back to I would just bring that to yourself. So I would use those affirmations, I forgive, I accept, I appreciate, for not only forgiving yourself, but also forgiving your spouse and your kids for not supporting you, and just stay very internal and self-directed, and what will happen is a momentum will start in your life, and your kids and your family will start to come on board. Maybe there might be some issues that you and your spouse need to discuss that might be threatening for him because him or her for whatever reasons. There's lots of issues that happen that come up when change is at hand. So it'd be nice to work through those issues. Again, that book, Nonviolent Communication by Marshall Rosenberg, is a great, great book for communicating, working through family and emotional issues. But other than that, just stay very self-directed. Give yourself lots of forgiveness and appreciation, and give your family lots of forgiveness and appreciation.
Thank you. Audrey says, before starting this, I would get paralyzed or panicked with work issues. Today I caught myself responding with aggression and anger, nearly rage. I think the visualizations are helping with the fight, but I need to not revert to fight. They're helping with the flight, but I need to not revert to fight. Do you have suggestions?
What I would say is keep doing what you're doing because it's working. Because fight is a huge step up from a weight loss perspective to immobilization. So when you're feeling overwhelmed by stress, you actually become immobile, and that type of feeling is what causes us to gain weight. When you want to fight something, when you have enough energy to fight, you're not overwhelmed by it, and your body's going to want to make you strong and lean and healthy in order to fight the fight. So it's not a bad thing. It's a progression, and it's a really positive progression, and you will get to a place where all that's gone and it's all gone, but it's a way, way positive notch up. So I would not worry that's what you're experiencing right now.
Okay. Monica says, every time I've lost weight, I've had a bad reaction. When even my husband is talking about how great I look, I had a very stripper-like figure when I was younger and felt objectified often, but I can only remember a few incidents. Now I'm conflicted because I'm having a middle-age crisis and wish I had that body back, and also feel like what would happen to me if I could have that body back. So I want to be thin and have energy, be attractive, but I also don't want to attract attention. How can I address these conflicting feelings?
The safe and protective visualization is speaks to the heart of this exact issue, because really what you're talking about is it doesn't matter whether you have attention or not per se. It just matters that you're safe and that you feel safe and that you feel comfortable. So and the safe and protective visualization really speaks to the heart of that. So having that column of light around you, the angel wings, and imagine the weight melting off of you, and then imagine yourself walking down the street. Maybe you're getting some attention, maybe you're not, but you're not feeling threatened by it. Nobody's threatening you. People are just looking at you because you've got beautiful light coming out of you and you're an attractive person, but it's not feeling the slightest bit threatening. I would do that visualization. I would imagine this every day when you're doing the visualization. Imagine that you're walking down the street and you've got all this protection around you, and maybe people are noticing you, but it's not in a leery kind of way, or leering kind of way. It's just you have beauty coming out of you and people can't help but notice it, and you're feeling really relaxed by it. When you can feel really, really relaxed by people just noticing how attractive you are, then that emotional obesity issue, that need to have the weight in order to hide or feel protected, that will be gone, and it'll make it much easier to lose the weight.
Maureen says, regarding boundaries, I feel that I'm codependent. I never realize I'm giving too much or taking too much on. I just want to be helpful. I just don't know where to draw the line. Do you have any tips on how to question myself and to know whether I'm doing it to please someone or giving too much?
Yes. So the question that you want to ask yourself in a situation is, what would you do if you had no fear? And no fear means no fear of disappointing the person, no fear of losing the person, no fear of not living up to who you are as a person, no fear of letting someone down, just no fear whatsoever. What would you do? No fear of being selfish or coming across as being selfish or stingy. Basically, no fear. What would you do if you had no fear? Because boundary issues are always about fear. They're always about doing things that you don't want to do out of a sense of fear or obligation, because you don't want to lose something or you don't want to disappoint someone. So get into that place where you are not afraid of losing anything or disappointing anyone. Just imagine for yourself and ask yourself, what would you do? And that answer is the right answer. Whatever that answer is really what you should be doing. Because that's what's healthy, because that's coming from a healthy place, not from a fear-based place.
That was great, John. Monica says, any suggestions for interrogating, for people who interrogate? People will ask me questions about me, my kids, my friends, that are none of their business, and I still answer them. I feel this relates to my weight.
This is about fear. Right? Because you're doing something that you don't want to do out of fear. So what's the fear here? The fear is you're going to upset somebody. You're going to be confrontative. You're going to come off as being mean or stingy or antisocial. So there's a fear here. So you need to be aware of what the fear is, and you need to get in touch with your feelings about the fear. And then what I would do is I would imagine yourself in that situation with all of the with all of the protection that we talked about, the column of light and the angel wings. Imagine somebody asking you whatever it is, and you just fearlessly looking at them and saying, "I don't want to talk about my kids. I'm not going to answer that question." Yeah, and being real relaxed and real calm, and imagining lots of protection, so that when you're in the real situation, you can also call in that protection. Be relaxed, be calm, be okay with yourself, and just look at them and say, "I'm not going to answer that. I don't feel comfortable with that question." And let it be at that. But it's always about fear of disappointing someone, of coming off as not the person you want to come off, whatever it is. So be aware of the fear. Okay,
thanks. David's just said, you mentioned meridian tapping, but I never elaborated on it. Would you mind explaining it?
Yeah. So let's put a link. Dan, we'll put a link on the site to the interview that I did with Mary Lane about meridian tapping. So meridian tapping is a system where you're tapping different acupuncture points in your body, and it helps relieve stress. It's very well documented, and people are getting enormous benefit from it. And I interviewed Mary Lane, and she walks through how to do it. So there's a link on the site under coaching for meridian tapping. If we could put that link in the New You in the New Year site, and people could then look at that interview that I did, it teaches you how to do tapping for yourself.
Okay, thanks, John. Susan says, how do I deal with the fear that this program will not work for me? I have a really hard time being able to accept the safe visualizations as well.
Okay, so I'd like to know why you have what you mean by you have a hard time accepting the safe visualization. So that's my guess is that that speaks to the heart of something that's going on in you and that's really important for you. So I would stay focused on that. And the other thing I would do is I would look at this 5-week program as simply a way of learning how to be healthy, real mind-body health, because in reality, mind-body health leads to fitness, because mind-body health creates a hormonal environment in your body that makes it much easier to lose weight. So forget about the success and failure of weight right now, and look at all the different things that we're doing and how it relates to really being healthy, mentally, emotionally, physically healthy. Stay focused on the health aspect. Stay focused on developing the positive habits, and the more you can focus on those things, the easier it is will be for your body to let go of the weight.
Okay. Jane says, I love the visualizations, but I always fall asleep. Even earlier on during this webinar when you were doing the I love you, I accept you, etc., I fell asleep while sitting at the computer.
That's great. So my guess is that they're putting you in a really deep state and they're having a really powerful effect on you. And sometimes you get into such a deep state that you go to sleep. So it's, believe it or not, it's actually really effective to be asleep listening to the visualizations, because it then allows you to communicate to that very deep subconscious part of you that normally is not accessible when you're awake.
Okay. Sharon says, if you're in situations in life that are demanding and with ongoing stress without any let up, is there something quick that you can do that can be helpful, that's not, because sometimes 10 minutes can be too long?
Yeah, so I would say that the tapping is really good that way, because you can do it in a couple of minutes, and also the visualization that I just did, where every cell of your body is saying those four things, I love you, I accept you, I appreciate you, I forgive you, is really good. When you listen to Paul North's interview that I did with him, he has one where there's four questions or four statements: thank you, I'm sorry, I love you, forgive you, something like that. They're very similar. They're very quick and easy. And he also has a mindfulness meditation that's 10 minutes long, but you can do a minute of that mindfulness meditation and you'll get tremendous benefits. So those are some really quick and very effective techniques. Another really effective technique is just to put your hand on your heart, and you can try it right now. If you just sit up straight, just put your hand on your heart. It could be your right hand or left hand. Put your hand on your heart. And just take 2 or 3 deep breaths. So put your hand on your heart and just take a deep breath. And then exhale and relax. And a deep breath. And then exhale and relax. And then a deep breath. And then exhale and relax. Now, if you see that, if you try that, what we just did, you'll probably notice that an enormous change in your overall feeling of stress. And if you were able to measure biochemically the stress hormones, enormous difference. Just from that was not even a minute long, those 3 breaths, and how incredibly effective that can be. So that's also a really good tool.
Okay, thank you, John. Jamie says, can you explain cellular release, please?
Cellular release therapy is a type of regression therapy. It's a very deep visualization where they put you in a deep state of the alpha and the theta, and they go back to different aspects of your life. They actually, when I did it, the cellular release therapy team is based in Denver, Colorado, and when I did it on Skype. So they could see me on Skype, and they would ask questions, and a yes meant that I would raise my index finger meant yes, and pinky finger meant no, and I would just have my hand on my chest, and they could see my hand, and they would ask questions, and they actually start to ask questions to you deeper, to your subconscious, to your unconscious, to that part of you that's in charge of relieving stress and trauma, and say things, is it okay if we relieve this trauma? Can we let go of this trauma? Can we imagine? And then you would imagine a scenario in which the trauma went away. So it's a very customized type of visualization, regression therapy that really speaks to the heart in a very personalized way of working through your particular emotional trauma. I've done a lot of different therapies, and I found that that one's highly, highly effective.
Okay, thanks, John. Susan, she's just said in response to your inquiry about what she meant when she said she's having a hard time accepting the safe and protective visualization. When she does them, she has these negative and skeptical thoughts creeping into her head saying, yeah, right, a column of light can't actually protect you.
Okay. If that's the case, then I say that's fine. Have your negative thoughts, but just press the button, sit there, and don't even follow along if you don't want to, and have all the negative thoughts. Don't worry about it. It's totally fine, because over time you will still get the benefits.
Okay. Roma says, the last 25-plus years have been extremely stressful. The only thing that has helped was reading your book and the evening visualization. I've known for a long time that I've tried to hide behind my weight. My reaction when someone comments approvingly on weight loss is really negative. It is, how could I have let myself get so fat? The emotional issues are very difficult to handle. I burst into tears when we were doing the love and accept me issues. This week I'm feeling exhausted because this is what it's all about for me. How can I get some more energy to cope with this emotional and physical exhaustion that I'm feeling?
Just be really, really gentle with yourself. Do not push yourself over the next couple of weeks. Let yourself process, because these are the important issues. So just let yourself process. Be as gentle with yourself as possible. I would eat as much as you can. You know, have healthy foods like green juices and flush your body with water, and try to eat fermented foods and real live foods. All the suggestions that we make, so that will give you the energy to cleanse on an emotional level. But really, really be gentle. And those four statements, those four affirmations, I would use those as like a mantra all through your life over the next couple of weeks. You can just keep saying it whenever you think of it. I love you. I accept you. I forgive you. I appreciate you.
Thanks, John. The questions I have now are not of stress-related questions. They're more to do with diet and other topics that we've discussed.
Let's just ask one. I just want to say we only have a couple of minutes left. We have 4 minutes left, so let's just ask one or two, and then we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Nancy says, the signaling to my brain that I've eaten seems to be extremely delayed. I know I just ate, but I'm still hungry. Then I eat more. Can you address this chemically versus physically?
So that signaling she's talking about is leptin. So leptin signals to your brain when leptin sensitivity. So when your brain is very sensitive to leptin, that signaling happens very quickly. So that everything we're doing is geared toward reversing leptin resistance by reversing the inflammatory stress hormones and other stress hormones that cause leptin resistance, and increasing that signaling. So that's something that will change over time. In the meantime, try that exercise that I just did where you put your hand on your heart and you breathe deeply for 3 times. Try that before you eat sometime, and try to eat slowly and consciously. Really chew your food well and see if the net result will be that the signaling will kick in much sooner, maybe not from a time perspective, but if you eat slower and more consciously, you will have consumed much less food by the time the signaling comes in.
Thanks, John. Shira says, I have heard that probiotics that do not need refrigeration are often more carefully manufactured and therefore superior. Is this correct?
No, I haven't heard that, actually. So I don't. If you want to send some documentation on that, I'd love to hear about that. But I haven't heard.
Okay. Cheryl says, which would be better to take, powdered wheatgrass or blended in a high-quality blender if a juicer is not an option?
You can't blend wheatgrass. You just can't. Because the wheat, your body won't digest the wheat. So don't worry about wheatgrass, but just have a green juice with, you know, celery, cucumber. You can put in a blender celery, cucumber, lemon, ginger, turmeric. Put those things in a blender and then strain them through a strainer or a cheesecloth and then drink the juice. That's totally fine.
Okay. Last question. Maureen says, regarding digestive enzymes, and this is quite a common question that we get, do you take them before the meal, after you've had a few bites, or okay to take just after the meal? And if yes, how much later?
Any time during the meal, you don't want to take them more than 10 minutes after the meal. So anytime just before, during, or within 10 minutes after the meal.
Okay. Okay. If the dosage on the bottle says one, but you say two, which would be the right dosage?
Just go with the dosage because the different ones have different strengths and quantities. So go with the dosage on the bottle.
Okay. Thanks, okay. John.
All right, great. All right, well, thanks very much, Dan, and thanks, Shannon and Aaron and everybody for this. And we do have an Ask John in about 36 hours, so you can call and talk to me, and then the interview with Paul North. And please just follow along the action steps. Don't get overwhelmed. Just take it real easy and just do a couple of action steps that are going to create habits that are going to last you for the rest of your life. And that's it. And thanks, Nadia, too. And I will speak to you all real soon. Take care.